Begin the current daf, Masechtas Tmuin daf Chav Tes. Begin on the second line down at the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues in a related discussion from the previous daf, and that is our Mishnah was discussing Kala Asur and all the different things that are prohibited to be brought as a carbon on the Mizbech. And one of the items was Mukta, if it's set aside for Avodah Zarah. And we qualified what is the category of Mukta, which there was two different interpretations in Rashi, but one interpretation was that it has to be fattened up for a period of 7 years, and then it's brought as a carbon. That means that, oh, that was really designated for Avodah Zarah. That's considered something that's forbidden. Now, on a related vein, Amar Rav Tuvi Bar Masna Amar Rav Yeshe, he says, Minayin lemukta min atar. Now, the Gemara's assumption at this point is, what he was trying to say was, how do we know that a person has to set aside his carbon for Shemayim for the sake of heaven, which is similar to the concept of, as we said in the previous stuff, of muktzav of Avodah Zarah. That is, you can't just sacrifice it right away when you sanctify it. You gotta fatten it up, you gotta really set aside, make a huge designation, and only then you can bring it as a carbon. How do we know that concept from the Torah? Shnei, because it says in the Pasuk in Bamidbar, it says, Tishmeru, you should safeguard it, lahakrev li b'me'adu, to sacrifice it for me in its designated time, which the word Tishmeru is kol sha'osin leishimer, whatever it is that you protected, you safeguarded for the purposes and utility of bringing it as a carbon, that's only when you can bring it as a carbon. You can't just bring it. It has to first be guarded, protected, fattened up, and then you can bring it. So which Maskev Labaya, Sabaya asks on this interpretation, he says, Elameyatav, if that's the case, Isis imre detzayim, if someone brings a lean, starving lamb, which was never shamur at all, and no one was ever concerned about it. You're telling me that if le'ovid le'shimer, if that it wasn't fattened up and protected, that's not fit to be sacrificed? We don't find that anywhere. How are you saying this halacha from this pasuk? So Malay said to him, no, I know. What I was saying from this pasuk was a different idea, which is actually related more direct from the previous stuff. Tishmeru l'hakrev liba me'ad kamina. My dig, my inference was on that Hashem says that you should safeguard to sacrifice what was shamer for me, b'me'adu, in the designated time you sacrifice. That's what kamina, that's why I said it should be a carbon. Which liba l'loden acher. Only that which was shamer, which was set aside to me as an animal, and not for a different master of yours, that's what Hashem says that you could sacrifice me. Now, ve'izehu acha shem akrivin, what's the other that people sacrifice to? Have a imezu avodis kachavim. That's referring to idolatry. And what the pasuk is actually saying is the source for mukta avodah zarah, that's asam and atar, which is one of the halachas of a mishnah, that if we're set aside for avodah zarah, Hashem is saying, well, that's not shamar for me, that's shamar for avodah zarah, that's forbidden to be brought as a carbon for Hashem. Now, Amar Rava bar Ravado, Amar Rav Yitzchak, he says, ein mukta asr ela ad sheyavdu, which is two different interpretations in Rashi. First interpretation says that something set aside for Avodah Zarah, it's not enough that it's set aside to make it forbidden until an actual service is done with it. For the utility of Avodah Zarah, either pulling a wagon or something else that's forbidden, but up until then, that's not considered yet set aside to be forbidden. But Rashi's preferred interpretation actually is that no, to the contrary. The thing that's usher because it's set aside, it's only up until you go ahead and you do some mundane activity with it. Which is of, let's say, something for the priest, they want to use this thing, this animal that was set aside. Once they do an act of service for their own personal purposes, then it's not going to be usher anymore. Then you could go ahead and bring it as a karma, it's not forbidden anymore. And Rashi says that would seem to be the primary interpretation because the words are, ela ad sheyavdu bo. According to the first interpretation, it shouldn't have said Ella, should have said E mukta asa ad sheyavdu bo. The set aside thing is only forbidden until you do work with it, but according to the second interpretation, it makes sense Ella because it's only forbidden up until then, because after that you actually do work with it, it's not considered set aside for a desire anymore, and it wouldn't be forbidden. Now, Beya Amr Biyechnan, first the Gemara qualifies this halacha that it's only forbidden up until work is done with it, Ulam Rabbi Yechon, and he says, Atshayim Siru L'Kermi Avodah Kachavim, which means to say, up until they give it over to the priests of the Avodah Zarah, meaning for their own personal purposes, according to this interpretation, the second one, for eating, then they're not bringing it as a carbon anymore to the Avodah Zarah, then it's already not forbidden anymore. Beyom Rabbi Yechon, he also says in Rabbi Yechon, a slightly different version, until they feed it, they fatten it up for the purposes of the priest to eat it for themselves, with veg for the priest, then again, they're not bringing it as a carbon anymore, then it's not aser as mukta anymore. Now, Amli Rababa Labeya, Rababa said to Beya, Maflegiso atun a'ula, do you dispute a'ula? which these were the two different versions in Nimr B'Yechid, and they're similar, but Ula said when it was just given over to the priest, and Beya said when until they feed the animal vetch, which was then to make it fatten up for the priest to eat it, not for the idol. So Amalila, he says, no, Ula Nami, Kikamahu, when he said his interpretation is the Safalik Kashina, but Kikam was when they really fattened and fed the animal, the vetch, for the priest. That's, we're both saying the same idea. That means to say it's not being used anymore for the idol, but rather for the mundane purposes, like we said, that Elat Shiyavdu, then it's not going to be usher as Mokts anymore. Now, Rabbi comments, he says, Yada Beyo Lishanu Yishmaita, Beyo knew how to interpret this topic, because where we said he was able to qualify when is Mokts usher up until. And V'ilay desal kasim, had he not gone up to Eretz Yisrael, Lahav Yodi would not have known the interpretation. Because the Eretz Yisrael garmalay, the fact that he went up to Eretz Yisrael is what caused him to be able to understand this sugya. Now, Amalei Rav Yitzchak, Rav Yitzchak, whoever said to him, Beyu mikon mikon ava. Beyu was both from Bavel and Eretz Yisrael. He was also a Talmud Chacham already in Bavel. Now, the Gemara continues on this topic, which the Girsa takes out the Dalet. Tani Rav Chananya Trito Kamid Rav Yechanan. He said, following on the same idea that we said before, the isra of mukta of an animal set aside of a desire is only asa until an action is done in it. Once an action is done to it for mundane purposes, it removes it from the category of being prepared for a desire. And hutani lo v'hada amala, he brought to quoted this price, and then he actually qualified himself. My maisa, what does it mean in action? Achi gaz is v'yavdubay, until you share its wool or until you work with it. Once you're doing that, it's obviously not set aside for the idol anymore, and then it's not asa as mukta for carbon. Now the Mishnah then went on and said, "Izeum neved b'chulu." What's considered something that was actually worshipped as a vidzara? That's something that's already forbidden to be used as a carbon on the mizbeach. Says Gemara, "Chulu etc." The Mishnah said that, however, although it's forbidden ligvaya, but they're going to still be permitted to be eaten by a hedyu. It's not forbidden for a regular person to consume something that was worshipped as a vidzara. Says Gemara, "Manan mili." Where do we know this from? That it's permitted for a commoner to eat it. So Amar Papa, because he says the Amakra, the pasuk says, by the Karbanas, which it mentions by in the Nevuah of Yecheskel, says that Mimashki Yisrael, from the beverages of the Jewish people, that's where you're going to bring your Karbanas from. Which teaches us, Minamutta li Yisrael, that which is permitted for a Jewish person, that's where you could bring your Karbanas. But what's not, it's forbidden. Says the Gemara, says Rapaba, V'yisagatetech, if you were entertained to say, that an animal that was set aside of Avodah Zarah, or was worshipped as Avodah Zarah, Asir lehedi would be forbidden for a commoner to eat, Sen lama likra. Then why would we need the pesukim we brought in the previous daf that says, "Oh, from min habakar, from the cattle is excluding that which was worshipped; min atzayim, from the flock is excluding that which was set aside of a dezara; min matinu migavaya, we already have it excluded from mashki yisrael that we're already going to exclude." Or the gear says, "Limatinu migavaya, you're already going to exclude that which is used for Hashem, because since it's forbidden for a commoner, for sure it's asa to Hashem because of the pasuk mashki yisrael." Why do we need a pasuk? Obviously, because it's actually permitted for Yisrael to eat a nevet or a muktza. Says the Gemara, is that really true? Ever it's already forbidden for a commoner, we don't need a pasuk because we know it's from this pasuk of Mashki Yisrael. But for treifa, we have an animal with a mortal defect. It's forbidden, we always call all non-kosher treif, which means if it has a mortal defect, it's forbidden to a commoner to eat it. Umate kromegvayin, we have a pasuk that has to say that it's forbidden to be used as a carbon for the mizbeach. To sound like learn the brisa, kishoimim in abakul lamata. When it says later on, from the cattle, which says im oil karbanim in abakur, says the brisa she'in tamalema, where it's not teaching us anything because we already said min habakur previously. Ella, rather, this that it says the second time in abakur, most definitely lahitzias a treifa. It's coming to exclude that a treifa cannot be brought as a carbon. And the first time it says min habakur is like we said, it's to exclude if it was worshipped as a vaydazar. But one thing we see is that we need a pasuk to exclude a treifa. Why? If it's asur lahed, you already know it's asur likvaya. So the Gemara Itzrach, it was necessary to say two psukim to exclude a treifa as a carbon on mizbeach. Why? Because if we only had from the pasuk mashki Yisrael, sokadetach, meaning you would have thought to say, hanemila denitrof of achakach neskacha. That's only if it was already treif, and then later on it was sanctified. Can't sanctify it because a treif, it's not mimashki Yisrael. Am neskach of achkech nitrofa, but if it was first sanctified and only subsequently became a treifa, ema de tishra ligavaya, I would say that it's actually permitted to be brought as a carbon because when it was sanctified, it was mimashki Yisrael, and therefore it became later on a treifa. Maybe we'd say that will not remove its sanctity. Therefore, we needed minabakar to say that no, if it's a treifa, you cannot bring it as a carbon. Now, That's why you need to have both exclusions, a special exclusion of treifa, even ligvayim. In contrast, by mukta and neved, why would we need two psukim? You can't say the same answer we're saying why you need a special pasuk for treifa, even though it's already asla hedyid, because in the case of where you sanctify it and then you set aside for avodah zarah or worship it, that wouldn't actually be asa because it's not the person, it's already hektishes, and the person cannot make something forbidden which is not his. Rather, that's the Gemara's inference from the fact that we had to exclude it from being brought as a carbon to Hashem, obviously because for a commoner it actually is permitted to eat. But the Gemara still asks on the case of treifa, v'amahochanafke, is it really true that we learn it out from here? That one source is from Mashki Yisrael, another one is that even if it became a treifa afterwards from Min HaBakar. But Kol HaShayava Tachas HaShevet, the Pasuk tells us, whatever goes beneath the stick is going to have the halacha of Maisa Behema. The tenth one becomes Maisa Behema. Now, Prat L'treifa She'Noiveres, that excludes a treifa animal which cannot go beneath the stick, because, for example, if let's say its leg was cut above the knee, which is one of the Yudches, one of the 18 types of treifas, from this Pasuk we learn that if it was a treifa, and then afterwards you want to sanctify it as Maisa Behema, that no, it cannot become Kachin. So we already know that case. So then Mashki Yisrael should be telling us the case of if it was, meaning what are we doing with three different sources to teach you the halacha of treifa that is not valid as a carbon? Here we have a source, so why do we need it? You said you need one to tell you that it was treifa and then it became sanctified. You need one that was sanctified then became a treifa. Then what do we do with this source, which is also excluding treifa to be brought as a carbon? Says the Gemara, Hahu nami itzrich. No, that source was also necessary. It's necessary to have three psukim. Why? If we only had Mimashki Yisrael, Sagadar de Chemina, you would have thought to say, yeah, Hanamila Hechadullah Husala Shasa Kosher. You would have thought to say that because that's only in the case that that animal never had a time that it could have been brought as a carbon. Why? Because the Nol de Trefa Me'ima, we would have interpreted that pasuk of Mimashki Yisrael, that has to be something that's kosher for a Jewish person, excluding a Trefa. Only if it was born congenital from the womb of the mother as a treifa. Now, why would we have said that? Because that's similar to the other elements mentioned in that pasuk over there, which talks about arlo, klah hakerem, which those are things from its inception that are forbidden, because there in the beginning of the pasuk it says min ha-masayim, from one out of the 200, which Gemara Pesachim of Chesam and Aleph says, from the excess of 200 which were left in the pit. From here is where we actually learn out that arlo and klah hakerem become nullified in a ratio of 200 to 1. So we would have compared it to those things. Just like arla never had a shasa kaisher, it's right when the fruits start coming out in its first 3 years. Treifa, we also would have only learned out. What are we excluding that cannot be brought as a carbon? Only if it was born as a treifa. Al heichad al heisala shasa kaisher. But if it had an opportune time, and v'yatzas lava oilam v'achkach nitrefa, because when it came out to the world, it was not a treifa. And only later on did it develop a treifa, ema tishri ligavaya, I would have said that actually it is permitted to be brought as a carbon to the mizbeach. Kamash Malan, that's why we needed Kol HaShayavar to say even the case when it's treifa after it was born and only subsequently was sanctified. And from Min HaBakar we learn that even if it was sanctified and then became a treifa, that even that's going to be excluded from being brought as a carbon on the Mizbeach. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, qualifying one of the other elements mentioned in the previous Mishnah we're going to call us during the topic of this parak, things that are forbidden to be brought as a carbon on the Mizbeach, and one of them was Esnan Zayna, that which is in exchange for the services of a harlot. That's forbidden, that animal is forbidden to be brought as a carbon on the Mizbeach. Says the Mishnah Be'ezeh or Esnan, what's qualified as this gift? So, if someone says to a harlot, and the gear says, Heilich tola zeh b'scharcha, take this lamb for the payment for your wages. So says the Mishnah, Filahin kuf, even if it's 100 sheep, kulan asur, they're all forbidden as the Esnan Zayna. V'chein, similarly, oimel chaveir, someone tells his friend, Heilich tola zeh, take this lamb, v'tolan shefchaschich etzel avdi, and let your maidservant sleep with my slave. So actually, here it's a machlekes. Rabbi Yehuda, he says, ain't a esnan, it's not a esnan. Chamayim esnan, they say it is a esnan, which the Gemara doesn't explain this machlekes between Rabbi and Rabban. Now, the Gemara asks, Amar, the Tana of the Mishnah said, Vafilihin meya kul nasun, and even if the sheep that he gave to the Zayna was 100, they're all forbidden. Says Gemara Hechadam, what's the case? Elam the shakla igra may behemoth, if that's her wages, she takes 100 animals for her services. So pshita de kuli asiri. Obviously they're all gonna be forbidden. Mali chad mali may, what's in between 1 or 100? They're all considered the esnan of the Zayna. Says Gemara Loy Tzrich, no, it's necessary in the case the shakla igra chada. Actually, her wages is one lamb. And he only stipulated that he's gonna pay her one lamb. V'yavla meya, but then he gave her 100. And that's the chiddush of the Mishnah, that they're all included in the category of Esnan, they're all considered the gift of the Zayna, because, and therefore all forbidden, the kulam mekayach esna, because they're all coming as a derivative of the gift that he's giving her, and although he's adding on to that, it's all still considered an esna zayna, therefore that's the chiddush that they're all also. Now, Tanabam, we learned the Braisa, further qualifying the category of this halacha of esna zayna, says the Braisa, nasan la v'loy ba'ala. Let's say he gives her the gift, and he doesn't cohabit with her. Or ba'ala v'loy nasan la, or he cohabits with her and doesn't give her to her. So, in either one of these cases, esnena mutter. So the har esnan is permitted. So the Gemara asks on both these cases. What? Nasan la v'loy ba'ala, what you're saying, if he gives her a gift and he doesn't cohabit with her, esnana karisla, how could you call that esnan zayna? It's only for the act of piyu, which he didn't do with it. V'su, moreover, the other case. Ba'ala v'loy nasan la, you're saying, oh, if he cohabited her with, but didn't give it to her, there it's also permitted. Well, ma'yavla, what did he give her? You said he didn't give her anything. So Ella rather says the Gemara Nahakin, and this is what the Brice was saying. Not the way the Gears that we had it, that it was saying Veloy, either that he gave and didn't have Bia, or he had Bia and didn't give Tar. Rather, the word should be substituted as Achakach. Nasan la v'achakach Bala. If he gave her the gift, and then he subsequently had Bia with her, or Bala v'achakach Nasan la, or he first gave her the gift, first had Bia and then gave her the gift, in either one of these situations, Esnena Mutter. Then the gift is going to be permitted. It's only when, at the time of Bia, that he gave her the wages, that's when it's going to be awesome. Now the Gemara asks on the first case, but why? V'leichel Allah esnan l'mafreya. The isra of esnan, the gift should be forbidden, it should take effect retroactively. In other words, in the case of when we said that he gives it to her and then has bia, since at the time of the bia, the lamb is still around, so since it's because of the bia that he's having with her, that's what he's giving the wages of the lamb. So wherever it is, it should take effect, the esnan, at the time of the bia. So it should be that is the classic case of esnan zayna. Because you could understand the case of when he first says bia and then he gives her the lamb. So you could say over there, at the time of the bia, he didn't designate the gift yet. So that's not forbidden because what he gives afterwards is just a random gift. But here, he already gave it to her for the purposes of the bia. So although he gave it first, but when he does the bia, then it's taking effect then. It should be usher at that moment as esnan zayna. So Rebbe Lazi says, the Ketintam at Beis, no, the case is talking about Shekodma v'hikrivasai. She went and she sacrificed it before the bia. You're right, if it was there at the time, then it would become usher then. But she sacrificed, she brought it as a carbon before the bia. That's what we're saying, it's not usher as a carbon of esnan zayna if he gave it to her first and then sacrificed it and then subsequently had the bia. So says the Mahechidem, well, what's the case talking about? Ename de Akne, and the Gear says, Nahalala alter. If he acquired a tar, he gifted a tar totally right away when he gave a tar. Well, Pshita the Mutter, obviously it's permitted. Because the Atkan lay Ba'ala. He didn't have Bia with her yet, and therefore he can't qualify it as Esnan Zayna. The Elodamala, so what are you going to say? No, that he told her, Loid Nikni lech Achas Bia. Now, I don't want you to acquire it until the moment of Bia. So therefore, that's why you would say, okay, maybe that would be considered esna zayna, because ultimately he's saying it should only be hers until he gives it to her. And then you say, okay, but if she sacrificed before, then it's mutter. Says Gemara, but mimatzi makrivalei? Could she go ahead and then actually sacrifice it before the act of bia, when he's stipulating that's only hers at the moment of bia? But ish ki yakdash is basic kodesh l'Hashem amrachmana. The Torah says in Vayikra, a man who's going to sanctify his house, that's holy to Hashem, which teaches us a categorical halacha in regards to hekdesh, which is, it uses a person's house to tell you, ma beis b'shusa, just like a person's house is in his domain, and therefore he can be makdashed, I've called b'shusa, also what's in the person's domain, only then he can be makdashed. But here, what he gave her is not hers yet, because he's stipulating it's only until the act of bia, so how could she have been makrivit as her carbon before the act of bia? So it says the Gemara, lo yitzricha, no, it's necessary in the case of the amala that he told her, yeah, loimiknilach achas bia. I don't want you to acquire it until the act of cohabitation. But he said, v'mitztarchach, but if you really need to, niknilach ma'achshav, then it should be acquired for you right now. So ultimately, it is hers right now. So she could sacrifice it. Now, but since he told her, it should not be acquired to you initially until the act of bia, so that's why it was necessary to say that it is going to be permitted if she goes and sacrifices it first, which was before the act of bia, which it was not around at that time to take effect then to make it into Esnan Zayna, because we would have thought to say that it is considered Esnan Zayna, because ultimately he did make it dependent on the act of Bia, but that's what he's saying, but since he allowed her to go ahead and do it beforehand, and she did, so therefore it's not taking effect at the time of Bia, and therefore it's going to be permitted, it's not going to be problematic as Esnan Zayna. Now related to this halacha, the Gemara says, Boi Rav Yishia, says, Kodma v'hika dishasay mai. What's halacha? Same case, but she didn't go ahead and sacrifice it before the act of Bia, But what she did was she went and sanctified it. She made it into saying, this is going to be her carbon before the act of Biyah. But it was around at the act of Biyah still. What's Allah Hamai? What's Allah over there? Says the Gemara, Tif Shalim and Rabbi Elazar. Well, why can't he resolve his question from what we just said from Rabbi Elazar? The Amr Rabbi Elazar, he said, Kodma Vikrivasi. He says, if she went, that's what he interpreted to explain the halacha. He said, if she went and she sacrificed before the act of Biyah, oh, then that's what we're saying the halacha is going to be, that in Mutter, in the Braitza, that's not going to be Asra as Esnan Zaina. So the inference is, Hikri Vasahi. It's only where she sacrifices. The Lesser B'Shas Biyah, where it's not even around at the time of the Biyah, that's when we're saying, oh, that's not Asra as Esnan Zaina. Aval Hikri Shasa, but the inference is, if she only sanctified it, then Asra would be Asra and take effect at the time of Biyah. Says Yimah, no, he gufa. This halacha of Rabbi Elazar itself, kemiboyle, is actually what Rabbi Yeshua is asking. His question was it obvious to Rabbi Elazar that hikrivasa, it's only when she sacrificed it volesa b'shas bia, and if it's not here at the time of cohabitation, then mutar then is permitted? Avol, but however, if only hikdisha b'shas bia, if it's only sanctified at the time of cohabitation, then also it's going to be forbidden? Dilmore, maybe that, no, you're right, he said the obvious case of hikrivasa, because that he knew for sure that that's going to be permitted. But regarding Hikdishasa, he was in doubt. Kivan did not, since the Mishnah says in Kiddushin, Amirasa Ligavayu, when someone says something to Hekdish, which is the act of being Makdish something, which is saying it orally that this should be as a carbon, you can't back out anymore. It's Kemisirasa Lahad, it's like you already gave it over to in the halach of to another person. So therefore, Hikdishasa Mutta, then even if it was sanctified, it should be permitted, because, yeah, it's already not here anymore. It was already given over to Hekdish. And v'choshken hikrivasa, and for sure in the case of hikrivasa. But that's actually what he was in doubt, and that's what Rav Yeshua was asking. Take a little sense, not clear, if being makdash would be the same as hikriv, to say that it's not going to be asr as esnan zayna. Now the Braisa said, as we had qualified it, and reinterpreted it, bo'alav v'achkach nosan l'esnan, we said that if he had cohabitation, and only subsequently gave her the esnan, well that's a later on gift, that's not the esnan zayna, because it wasn't at the time of the bia, then mutter is going to be permitted. Ask the Gemara, but Vatan, you'll learn the Braisa contradicts this. The Braisa says the same case, Bo'alav v'nasan la, if he has cohabitation, he gives her a gift. Vafilat shnayim asachaydish, even if he only gives it to her after 12 months, esnan na'asr, the esnan is forbidden. It is considered as the wages for the act of biyah, which contradicts to what we said in the previous Braisa. So Rav Chanan b'Rav Chizdi says, Lakash is not difficult. Ha da'amala hivali li bitla zeh. This last Braisa that we just quoted is where he says, have biyah with me for this lamb. So since he's giving it to her, he's showing her at the act of Biyah, so there, the Esnan is going to take effect right away. And that is, even though he doesn't give it to her in her hands until after 12 months, but he said it's this one, and that's taking effect at the time of the Biyah, there it's going to be also. But the first Braisa that we quoted was, he just says, yeah, have Biyah with me that I'll give you a lamb, which he doesn't designate any lambs. And he only sends her a lamb later on, that's considered just a regular general gift, because the halacha of Esnan is only that which was designated at the time of Biyah. To which the Gemara asks, but Tlezeh, even in the second verse that we're quoting, when he says this lamb, what does that help? Why is that making it Aser? V'machus Meshicha, but it's still lacking the kinyan of Meshicha, of drawing it from him to her, which until that's done, it's like nothing was given and designated at the time. So therefore it shouldn't have any halachic significance, any different than Tlezeh Stam. Says Gemara, yeah, but Bezayin of Itzkechavim. The Braisa is talking about a non-Jewish harlot, Duleikanya b'Meshicha, who does not acquire with the kin of Meshicha with drawing. Rather, she acquires with the kin of Mois with monies. Which here, that's the act of the Bia. Which therefore, there she is acquiring it right away with that act of Bia. That's considered the transaction, and therefore it's being acquired because he said Zeh. Over one says the Gemara, Philip Bezayin Israelis. We could even be talking about it that it was a Jewish harlot. But we're talking about that it was in our courtyard. So therefore it takes effect right away when he says this, because she's acquiring, it's already in her courtyard, she has a kinyan chatzar. So therefore, even though Meshicha wasn't done, therefore even though he only gives it to her later on, as we're going to explain shortly, but it's in her courtyard, so therefore it's acquiring it right away. So the Gemara 1 is, wait, ha-yohavis la-mikar, but then if you're saying it's in her courtyard, that means to say that she already acquired it already in the beginning, since it's in her courtyard. So that's at the time of Biyah. So why are you then calling it, you're defining this case of when it's Aser, of even though he first says Biyah and then later gives it, unlike the first Braisa, because it gives it later on. But then when he said, so what do you mean, so how's it working? He said, Zeh. So what does Zeh work? Oh, it's in our courtyard. In our courtyard, so it's happening right away. So then why are you calling it Baal Kach Nasan? And moreover, then obvious that's the case, it's going to be Aser. So as Gemara knows, Dushavi La Poitiki. What he does is he makes this lamb into an apoitiki, which is the words Poitahe Koi. So this is where you'll for sure be able to collect what I owe you. Meaning, Vamala, he tells her, Imad Yoim Plaini, if until that day, which he designates a certain day, Yehivna Lach Zuzi, I'm going to give you monies, then Mutta, fine, that's how I'll pay you for your services. Vimla, but if not, Tla Tela Be Esnanach, then the lamb will be for the payment of the Esna. Which Rashi has a different version, a different girsa. His girsa is Ad Yoim Plaini, Mishk Shokalach Kach Vekach. If I give it to you until that day, then I'm going to give you this amount of money. Vilay, if not, then I'll give you shakalev, and you can even take the lamb, which is even possibly worth more money. But therefore, since that day comes along and he doesn't give her the money, so it's retroactively revealed that it was always hers from the moment of that they had Bia. So therefore, it is taking effect right then. And therefore, that is going to qualify as Esnan Zayna. However, the reason why the Brisa calls it Achakach, that he only gives it to her later on, because ultimately it was practically, technically only hers when that day reached, when he didn't give her monies, and instead she then gets from the Apaitiki. Therefore, we have to tell you that it's going to be Aser, even though it's V'achakach, which the first Brisa said is not Aser, this type of Achakach is going to be Aser, because ultimately, retroactively, it is hers from the moment of Bia. Continuing on this halach of our Mishnah, Amar Rav, he says, Echad Esnan Zachar, whether it's a Esnan for a male harlot, which if he has relations with a male and he gives him a Esnan to pay for his wages, or Ve'echad Esnan Kalah Reis, or whether it's an Esnan of all forbidden types of sexual relations, Aser, that animal is going to be forbidden to be brought as a carbon. Chutz mi Esnan Ishtei Nida, except there is one type of relations, although it's forbidden, that if he gives a gift for that, that's not forbidden. It's if his wife was menstruating, who is forbidden, but still, that gift is not forbidden as a carbon. My time, what's the reason? Because Zayin exib. The Pasuk says, it's Esnan, a gift of a Zayin, of a harlot. V'holav Zaynahi, the wife, although it's forbidden during those times, it's not, she doesn't make her into a Zayinah, and therefore it's going to be permitted. Now, V'levi Yama, he disagrees. He says, no, Felish Tainida. Yeah, even if he gives a gift to his wife for those services at those times when she's forbidden to him, it will be considered as an Esnan Zayna. My tem, what's the reason? Because Te'eviksim. The Pasuk over there says, Ki Te'avas Hashem Al-Kecha Gam Shneim, because it's an abomination. V'ha Te'evihi, and the wife that's Anida is written there in the Parsha of Arayas. And on all the Parsha of the forbidden relations, it says, Eskola Te'evas Ha'elo, all these abominations, which includes Ishtay Nida, and therefore that is forbidden as an Esnan. But the Gemara asks, but Levi Nami book says Zayna. But what does Levi do with the fact that it calls it a Zayna, and the wife that's in need is not a Zayna? Amalach, he would tell you, that's actually coming to teach us a different halacha. It's coming to tell us that when it is with a Zayna, it's Veloy Zayna. Meaning to say that it's only forbidden when the man is giving to the woman for her services. But if a woman's giving for a male Zayna, then actually, that animal that he gets from her is going to be permitted. That's what it's teaching. But it doesn't have to be only a Zayin. It could even be Te'eva, even Ishtei Nida. So it says Gemara of Rav, according to Rav, who he learns out the halacha of Zayinah, that it says to exclude that which is not a Zayinah, like Ishtei Nida. So he's Zayinah v'le Zayinah min olay. Where does he know this, that it applies specifically to a female harlot and not to a male, if he already uses Zayinah to exclude Ishtei Nida? So as Gemara Nafli Amadir Rabbi, he learns out from a different source, that from the teaching of Rabbi. To time like learn the Brais, Rabbi M, he says, Ein esnan aser ella, and the girsa is esnan kol harayas habos lebaver. Esnan is only forbidden to a relationship that comes through an act of sin, meaning that there's no permissibility with that type of relationship. Aval esnan ishtei nida, but let's say a gift that was given to his wife that's a nida, where he's permitted to her at a later point in time, or vishanosn la schar lahavka asa, or if he's giving to the zayna payment for the lack of work that she can't do during that time, but he's not paying her wages for the actual act of bia, or the case that we want from Rebbe, Vishnasna loy be'esna noy, or that she gives him for payment for his wages for the act of bia, mutar, in all these cases, going to be permitted. Now, says the Gemara, Ava Pisha in Railadavan, even though there's no proof for the last case that it's going to be permitted to bring as a carbon, but Zechil Adavar, there is an allusion to this idea that it's not considered an Esnan, what she gives him. And it's only what he gives her. Why? Because the Pasuk in Yecheskel says, Hashem rebuking the Jewish people, Uvesitech Esnan, where the Pasuk there begins, that Hashem is comparing the Jewish people to a wife, and their relationship to him, Hashem as the husband, says, and you're different than all the other women in your immorality, because Uvesitech Esnan, you give the Esnan, Ve'esnan lo'y nitelach, and you're not even given an esnan to you. But tehila hepech, and it's the exact opposite how it usually is. As if you would have been unfaithful, that someone would have paid you is one thing, but here you are paying and giving to the idol. You're actually doing the opposite, which we see that the classic halacha of the esnan zayin is from him to har, not from har to him, and therefore that would be an allusion to this idea that that's not considered isser of esnan zayin. That's where Rav would know it's zayinu v'loy zayinu. Says the Gemara, "V'rav hai te'eva my avali." What does he do with te'eva? Which that's what Leib was learning, abomination, including ishtei nida as also esnan zayin. Rav who excludes it from zayinu, what does he do with this word of te'eva? Says the Gemara, "M'bayle lekta abaya." He needs it like for what Abaya had used it for. Because the Amabaya, Abaya actually says from Te'eva is actually where we learn out the qualification of what's going to be Aser as Esnan Zayna. He says, Zayna Oivedis Kachavim. If a harlot, if the prostitute is a non-Jewish woman, then Esnana Aser, then her animal that she's given a gift is forbidden as a carbon on the Mizbeach. My time, what's the reason? Why specifically a non-Jewish woman? Because Ksiv HaCha Te'eva, it says over here an abomination. Ksiv Hasim says over there, Pasigam Yikur Kikalasha Yasim Akal Te'eva Zayla, that all these types of abominations, what's that Pasuk talking about? They were Yujis Te'eva. Malahal Arayah Shein Kedushin Te'evsim, but just like over there was referring to illicit relationships, that Kedushin, marriage, does not take effect on those women because they're forbidden to this person. So Chinami in Kedushin Te'evsim, but here also when we're talking about the Esnan Zayin, they use the terminology of Te'eva. That's what it's coming for, to tell us that only if Kedushin is not Taifas, just like a man cannot marry a Jewish woman, then is what we're talking about, it's going to be the Isser Esnan Zayna. But by a regular Jewish woman, where the Kedushin could be Taifas, actually that's not going to have the Isser of Esnan Zayna. Moreover, says Abaya, the Kohen Shebala, and in the case of the non-Jewish harlot, if a Kohen has relations with her, which the Torah says he's not allowed to have relations with a Zayna, Ein loiko lav lemeshem Zayna. He's not going to get lashes of having relations with a Zayna. My time, what's the reason? Because the Amakra, the Pasuk says afterwards, after it talks about all the prohibited relationships, including a Zayna that a Kohen's not allowed to have with, it says loichal zaroi. So he shouldn't desecrate his children, which teaches us it's the type of relationships that he would have a child from, that's where it's forbidden. That's only the children that would be having the lineage after him, the Kohen, as the father. That excludes a relation with a non-Jewish woman. With the children that he would have from her, wouldn't be considered his children. It actually would be considered her son. As the Gemara says, a son that's born from a Jewish woman is considered your son. But a son born from a non-Jewish woman is not considered his son, but rather her son. Therefore, that's not included in the Isser of Zayna to get lashes for. Whereas Zayin Yisraelis is the opposite. A non-Jew, a Jewish harlot, Esnena Mutter, the animal that she's given as a gift is permitted because Matam, what's the reason? Because the Kedushin Taifsim, but because Kedushin would take effect if he went ahead to marry her. Therefore, that's not included in Toyeva. The Kohen Shebalau, and the opposite is, if a Kohen has relations with her, like Mishum Zayin, he would get lashes for having relations with a harlot. Matam, what's the reason? Dazar Miuchas Achara, because relations with that type of woman, the Jewish woman, it would be considered his son, and therefore that's considered Lo Yichal Zaroi to get the lashes for having relations with the Zayin. Now, Rav Amar, he disagrees on both points. He says, no, Echadze ve'echadze, whether the Jewish Zayin or the non-Jewish Zayin, both of them as neno aser, the gift that's given to her is forbidden. For kain abu alal like mishum zayna, for kain has relations with her, he gets lashes for having relations with a zayna. My timer, what's the reason? Even though each one is only said for that category, because yafim ad dadi, because we learn one from the other in what's called a mamatzin, that we compare the two, and we say ma zayni yisraelis balav. Just like we know that the Jewish harlot, there is a negative prohibition because that zar miyuchas acharav sav zayna v'tzkechav malav. So to the non-Jewish zayna, we'll also get the negative prohibition. And so to the other way, just like the gift to the non-Jewish Zayna is forbidden because that's a case of Toyeva because it's in Kedushin Toyevsin, so too the gift of the Jewish Zayna is also going to be forbidden. Basically, the Gemara asks an Abaye from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, seemingly like Ravam, where it says, Echad Zayna Ovedes Kechavim, Echad Zayna Yisraelis, whether it's a Jewish or non-Jewish Zayna, Esnena Aser, even for the Yisraelis, the gift is forbidden. So you have to do Abaya. That's a refutation of Abaya. So Amalach Abaya, Abaya would tell you, and the Girsa is added on over here, as we'll see in the second version, which it says the same words, that the Girsa says, Ki ketani ha, when did we say this idea of this Braisa, is Barayas She'en Kedushin Teifsim, but it's only by, Jewish women, but types of Jewish women that Kedushin would not take effect. Which mother, certain types of Jewish women, Kedushin is not typhus, well, that's going to be just like Te'eva, just like a non-Jewish woman. And therefore, that's where the Esnan is going to be Asa. To which the Gemara then asks, But for Hakatani Sefer, we learned at the end of the Braisa that says, Amon l'kohen gadol, a widow to a high priest. Grusha b'chalutz l'kohen hedyot, a divorcee or a woman that was divorced through the process of Yibum to a kohen hedyot, where for regular kohen, there the Braisa says, Esnena asa, there the gift is also forbidden. And says the Gemara according to this text, V'ohani kedushin tefsemen. Those are cases where kedushin does take effect, because it's not that of Karis or that of a Chiv Misa. It's just a negative prohibition which Kedushin takes effect. And yet still we say that's included in Esnan Asa. That's not like a Bai who says if Kedushin is Taifas, then that's not Taiva, and that's not going to be considered the prohibition of Esnan. To which the Gemara says, it's still not difficult. Because Hamani, who is the Tana of this price that says that even by a Monlikan Gadol, if he has relations with her, that the Esnan is going to be forbidden? It's Rebbe Kivahi. Doma that he says, it's a burden parakah chaylitz, in Kedushin Tevsim Mechiyuv Alam, and he holds that actually Kedushin is not going to take effect even if it's just a low level of just a negative prohibition. So therefore, that's going to be just like the bona fide arayas that get a chiyuv of karas, which Kedushin is not Tevsim, and that would be then included in the category of Teiva. And actually, v'hokamash malam, this is actually what the time of the Brisa was coming to tell us. The chol zayna eni zayna. Her esna is going to be forbidden if loy tavsi ba kedushin, if kedushin is not going to take effect, exactly like Abaye had said, where that's what the end of the brayse is coming to qualify dumi dam mana, just like the case of a widow to a kohen gadol to loy tavsi ba kedushin, because it's going like Rabbi Kiva, that kedushin is not tefes. Now the Gemara asks, ula Rava, according to Rava, that he says that actually every zayna is going to be esna, even where kedushin is tefes, then maishna de ketani, then why actually did the end of the brayse say kogoin amon lo kohen gadol? Why did it give an example of like a widow to a kohen gadol? It could have said even a single girl, because Rebbe does not expound to Eva like Abaye. So why does he use Amon l'kohen gadol? Says Gemara, no, he's coming to say Dumi da Amana, similar to the prohibition of Amon l'kohen gadol, which is Ma Amana, just like a widow to a high priest, Loi Laki, the kohen gadol doesn't get lashes, Ad Demasri Bey, until words are spoken, until he's warned before, and like every Avera, Av Zayna, so that's what it's coming to compare in the Braisa, so to a Zayna, her gift is not going to be forbidden, Ad the Amar, until he explicitly tells her, hey Loch, here, take this Esna. But if he didn't say that, then we would assume that what he's giving her is just a gift, because she actually would not be considered, quote, a Zayna to be an Esna Zayda with just having one forbidden act of cohabitation. And that's Lafuki Mid Rabbi Laza. That's what the Bryce is coming to say to exclude from the Pin of Rabbi Laza. Because the Amar Balaza, he holds, Pani Habo al Panuya. If a single man has relations with a single girl, Shaloi L'Shamishis, not for the sake of marriage, because that is a way to consummate a relationship, but if it's not for that purpose, Asa Zayna, he automatically makes her into Zayna, and then yes, what he gives her would be considered Esna. But that's what the Braisa, according to Rav, is coming to tell us, that no, he has to explicitly tell her, like Bamala Kangal, where something has to be said, only then it's forbidden, but if not, it, she would not be considered, quote, a Zayna, to make the gift forbidden. Ava, but says the Gemara, Heicha de Zayna Mikra, but if she really was a full-fledged Zayna from beforehand, so then Hachanami, then you're right, then even according to Rava, then we would assume that the gift that he's giving her, even if she's a single woman, the Asa, that would be forbidden, because then that would be the bona fide Esnan Zayna. Now Lishna Achrina, another version to answer the original question we had in the Abaye, says the Gemara Kikitani Ha, when did we learn the Braisa that says that it's going to be forbidden the Esnan given to a Jewish woman, which is not like Abaye, who says only if condition is not typhus, is by Rayas, and Kedushin Tevsim is talking about by Rayas, that Kedushin does not take effect. So there could be a Jewish woman that's just like the non-Jewish Zayna, that Kedushin wouldn't take effect. But as the Gemara, but Vakatani Sefer, we learned at the end of the Braisa, it says, Amon l'kohen gadol, a widow to a high priest. Grusha b'chalutz l'kohen hedyot, a divorcee or a divorcee from the process of her brother-in-law to a kohen hedyot, where the Braisa says, it's nana asa, the gift is forbidden, v'hani Kedushin Tevsim ben, but here these are just chibalavim, where Kedushin is typhus, and still we see the esna as asa, not like Abaye. Says the Gemara, in this version, Hamani, who is the Tana of the Braisa? First version we said it's Rabbi Kiva to answer the question. Here says the Gemara, it's Rabbi Lazahi. The Amma that he says, Pane Habala Panuya, which we mentioned him just in passing before, like Rabbi was saying that it was actually coming to exclude from Rabbi Lazahi. Here the Gemara is saying for Abaya, that actually who's the Tana of the Braisa? It's Rabbi Lazahi who says that if a single man, Habala Panuya, has relations with a single woman, Shaloi L'Shamish is not for the sake of marriage, Asa Zayna, he makes her into a Zayna. So that means to say every act of relations that it's out of wedlock is considered a biyav znos, making her into a zayna. Therefore, the gift that he's giving her is usher as esnan zayna. That's why the Braisa is saying that's forbidden. But I, holy Rabbanan, that no, it has to be a full-fledged act of znos, which would require that it's something that's conditioned, would not be typhus, only then would it be considered esnan zayna. Says the Gemara, Be'ira Belaza, if the bride's going like a Belaza, my Ir Yaman, then why does this pick specifically a widow to Kohen Gadol, Nisni Penuya, even a non-married woman? She should say a single woman. He holds any act of non-marital relations, makes it into Znus, and then an Esnad Zayna. Says the Gemara, no, Amana Itzrach, it was necessary to say the case of the widow. Because I mean, you would have thought to say that if we would only pick the case of a single woman, we actually would have thought that it would only be an Esnad Zayna by a single woman, where there's no other prohibition. But actually, the Esnan of a woman that's forbidden to him, like a widow to a Kohen Gadol, that actually it would not become forbidden as Esnan Zayna. Because the Pasuk says in the Pasuk Zayna, and a general Zayna, according to Rabbi Elazar, is a single man with a single woman. Because that's just only Zayna. But if it's among the Kohen Gadol, there's some other Isser, then we actually would have said, Hoy Labinya Avu, since it's a building block to tell us that actually, you know when Esnan is going to be Aser? Only by a Zayna, which the classic case is a single man with a single woman. But actually from a widow, which is forbidden to Kohen Gadol, I actually would have said Loi Nitzru. Then actually, that, although that's a forbidden act of cohabitation, but that would not make it into, quote, the Esnan of the Zayna. Well, that's what they say, that no, even Amon Kohen Gadol is going to be considered a case of an Esnan Zayna, because ultimately, according to Rabbi Elazar, it's a forbidden act of Via, it's not that of a marital relations, and therefore it's going to be considered Esnan Zayna to be forbidden.